Christmas than to be home. Home is a person holding us close. Home is that Christmas feeling.
Merry Christmas.
Well, we all have different thoughts when it comes to home and Christmas. Some of those are dear. Some of those aren't so dear. We all have an image of home. Some of it's warmth, and it really warms our soul. I have to be quite clear and quite honest with you that mine certainly does not include longing for Folgers coffee Christmas morning, even though my parents still drink it. I'm scarred for life, but that's another story. But there are parts of home that, in a sense, we block out, like the bad taste of something. And then at the same time, home can be just empowering, and it can be just so encouraging and so satisfying. And it really, it can be a sanctuary, but also the idea of home, of more than just a place, but of people and all that goes around that, all the holidays, all the eating, all the things. We can find that sometimes those things drain us. They suck us dry. So as we're thinking about home, and some of you may be thinking, oh, tomorrow I've got to go here and there, and may even be just okay. But all that activity just seems to like it's going to suck your energy dry. And for those of us who have had a home that needs repair, we can see how home just can take basically everything we have, like this couple experienced.
And Walter are young, single, and in love. They've got good jobs, fabulous futures, a magnificent new home that they bought for a song. Who says they can't have it all?
It's gonna be fun fixing it up.
They've got what it takes. It's going to take everything they've got.
Like that. They've got everything it takes, and it's going to take everything they've got. And for some of us, that might be what's in store for us tomorrow, or maybe in store for us New Year's Day when we regather. But this idea of home, wanting home, and you notice our series has been home for the holidays. And some might say, well, why don't you say home for Christmas? Isn't that taking away from it? And actually, it isn't, because if you think of Thanksgiving and being grateful, you think of Christmas and the birth of Jesus with the new possibilities of a relationship with God, and then you think of New Year's, and you think of the new day to come, the new year, and the possibilities of all that, really you can see how holidays actually is holy days, special days. So originally when the word holy day came out, it was special days. And if we're honest with ourselves, we don't want our holy days or holidays just to be from Thanksgiving to New Year's and a few others. We want it to be all year round. We want to experience what would be holy days year round. And holy days doesn't mean that they're stuffy and reserved and unhappy. Actually, holy days are to be celebrated, are to be enjoyed, because you and I can be engaged in a relationship with God because of what Christ has done for us. And throughout this series, we've been looking at a verse, and the verse is read this way. It says, God has planted eternity, home in the human heart, But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. And that idea of eternity, that idea of home, that there's actually a place. In our little story, the lamb was looking for a place to belong. And if we're genuine and if we're vulnerable, all of us look for a place to belong, to fit, to feel safe. And when we think of eternity, some of us think of, no, that's going to be a day of reckoning, and there may be a part of that, but God designed that next chapter of life to be home, to find our place in his story, our place in history. We read in John, there is plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that weren't so, I would have told you. I'm on my way to get a room for you. And if I'm on my way to get a room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. And the idea of home, the idea of being where God is, about finding that safe place. Jesus himself said this is the only way to the Father, to home, is through me. And that makes us feel a little uncomfortable because some of us say, could that be true? Is there only one way? Isn't that exclusive? That isn't nice. That isn't sharing. That isn't welcoming. But these are the words of Jesus. Jesus is born in that little manger, then lives, then dies, and then rises again so that we could be home someday. And he doesn't force himself on us. We can be home for good. Home for good. Someday in the future, in the next chapter of life, in a new heavens and a new earth, we can be home for good. And everybody, again, longs for that feeling, that concept of home. We fill it with other things. Maybe we think we need more stuff. Maybe we think we need a new position, we need a new item, a new pet, a new hobby, a new this, and then we'll go, I'm home. But that really isn't home. There's only one place that our soul has been designed to be home, and that is with God. And as we started this series, we saw why that happened, why there was the break, and the idea that we can have that. Instead of writing us off, God said, no, I'm not going to write these folks off. I'm not going to ignore them. I'm not going to turn my back on them. I'm going to extend my hand. I'm going to extend my love to them. And it's their choice. Yeah, they can slap it away. I'm not going to force myself. They can slap it away. They can slap it away in little decisions and big decisions. They can slap it away. But he's saying to us, home, you can have home for good. You can live for that day. Reminds me of this story.
There was a mother and a father who had a son. They lived in a small village and didn't have much money, but they were happy. One day, they heard the head of their country was sending soldiers to their town because he thought they were part of an insurrection. The young family decided to flee. They grabbed only what they could carry and ran. They hiked for days, wondering if soldiers might still be following them. They were scared, hungry, and exhausted. But they were far away from the atrocities taking place in Bethlehem. That's all Mary and Joseph wanted, a safe place to call home.
I don't know if you ever looked at things like that. That's not to make a political statement. It's just to say there's got to be a better way in our world, doesn't there? Doesn't there? But the idea that Jesus was a refugee and Jesus was looking for home and they left Bethlehem because of troubles and longing to be home. You see, we need to remember that Jesus left his perfect home. When we think of heaven and Jesus coming and we think of this nice little story, he left heaven, the best of the best. He left the place that he fit in perfectly, one of the persons of the Trinity, fully God. He was there. He was enjoying all things. We can look at other passages, and he was engaged and involved with actually creation. He's always existed. It wasn't when he was born in that little manger that all of a sudden he came alive. He existed beforehand, but he settled himself, and he came down to be born and experience life like us. You see, Jesus was with God and is God. And you got to get your mind wrapped around that. You may think that Jesus is a nice story. He had good things to say. If people would just really follow him and live his values out, it would be a better place. And that may be all true. But there's a bigger story there. A more significant is that Jesus came as God, fully man, and lived amongst us. He came to be with us. Read in John 1, before the world began, the Word was there. And you can take that word, Word, Logos, and replace it with Jesus. Jesus was there. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there with God in the beginning. Everything was made through him, and nothing was made without him. In him there was life, and that life was a light for the people of the world. Have you ever been in one of those situations where, let's say, you're kind of like in charge, you're the person, and somebody meets you, maybe it's in a position at a company or whatever, sometimes you've seen this undercover boss kind of idea, and the undercover boss is there, and he looks like everybody else, but he is the boss, he's the owner of everything, and everyone's like, ooh, when they discover that he was the boss, they're kind of like freaking out, they're like, oh, that was the boss, he was, you know, this is Jesus the creator, this is who shows up, this is who stays on the planet for 33 and a half years, give or take, and gives his life for an ungrateful people for the most part. You see, Jesus was with God and is God, and that is so important to grapple with and trust and come to terms with that. Also, this idea is that Jesus would return home. He wasn't going to stay here forever. From when he gets around 30 and starts talking to his disciples, he starts to express this idea that he won't be around forever. They don't like that idea, but he's saying, you know, I'm not here to set up a kingdom and be King Jesus and all these kinds of things. I'm set up to touch a heart at a time. That King Jesus stuff will be someday in the future. And so he's there, and he becomes us. The only difference is he is without sin. Amazing. He becomes us, experiences us, all the hard things that you experience. He experiences those, the temptations. He totally gets us because of that. He knows what it's like to be really hungry. It's not a concept in his mind. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to border on all of a sudden expressing irritation. Yet Jesus doesn't sin. So he gets us because he is us. He understood fully God, fully man, how he kept those two things in a sense not separate, but how he was withheld using his deity when he was on the planet, I don't know, because I would have been tempted. Wouldn't you have been tempted every once in a while? Nobody's looking, and all of a sudden you're tired, and you got to go 10 miles, and you go, boo, I'm there, you know, or whatever, or, you know, you do these kinds of little miracle things, you know, dinner doesn't look that great, it's, you know, something yucky, and you just kind of like, you know, turn it into, you know, if you can turn water into wine, maybe he turns in, you know, some kind of mutton into like a Big Mac or something. I don't know. I don't know what you'd turn it into, but that's what I might turn it into. But, you know, this is God. He became us. He gets us. He understands the limitations of being a human being. The Word became flesh and blood, moved into the neighborhood. Again, he came and was a part of us. We saw his glory, the idea of glory. We could recognize God in him with his own eyes. With our own eyes, the one of kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish, full of grace and truth. Again, as we said earlier, you know, he did not sin. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. He gets us, he understands. So whatever is on your plate, no matter how heavy it is, he gets you. He knows you. He's experienced it. When I have something going on in my life, I don't know about you, and I go to get some help, get some counsel, it's a lot more encouraging when I know the person's gone through it. I say, oh, you understand. You get this. When the person doesn't understand, when it's just a concept in their head that they've never experienced, I take their advice, but it's not the same. It's not the same. When somebody has lived it, I get it. And Jesus experienced it. He came, except he did not sin. He was never selfish, never self-centered. And then, as we've been talking, Jesus offers himself for us. Talks about this. I finished the work you gave me to do. He's talking to his heavenly Father. I brought glory. People recognize God the Father in him. I brought that glory on earth. People got a glimpse of Jesus. They saw how he navigated, saw how he had. He goes, this guy, there's something special about him. They saw that. And when he lived his purpose, which was to give his life for us, he goes back to heaven. He goes back to be with the Father. And, you know, when we think about this, this may be not too much of a stretch, but just remind us, you know, we all have a purpose. He lived for his purpose. You live for your purpose. All our purposes are different. Some seem grander than others, but it doesn't really matter. You need to be who he's made you to be. And then someday you can go home and be with the Father if you've said yes to Jesus. You see, Jesus will bring us home to be with him forever. That's unbelievable, forever. We have no concept of forever. Forever. Home, safe. Not home for a little while, not home for vacation, not home to make Folgers coffee in the morning and have everyone go, oh, Peter, and then, you know, 10 hours later, it's all worn off. I've shared with you before that when I'd come home from college, I had like a 48 hours where I could do anything I wanted to, eat anything in the refrigerator I wanted to, you know, watch any TV show, and I had total control, and that was like 48 hours. It was back to mom and dad. I was just David, and what are you doing? Why are you eating that? Who told you you could do that? You know, it was just this kind of thing. But forever is forever. Forever. No limitations. Because Jesus is preparing your place. I love this. He's preparing your place. He doesn't say, I go back to heaven until I come back and get you. He goes, I go back to heaven because I'm preparing a place for you. I like to think about that he's actually preparing a place for me. It's going to be so much grander, so much larger than what I can imagine. He's not preparing a place like I would want. You know, I was watching TV last night, and now the standard is like 118-inch TV. Do you see that? 65, poof, you know, nothing anymore. So it's not like he's preparing in heaven this wall TV that's like, you know, 200 inches or something in heaven, because he knows that's how I would like to watch TV, if that's what you do in heaven, but I don't know. But he's preparing a place. He's preparing a place that fits you perfectly. Fits you perfectly, where you'll say home and it won't wear off. The people that invite you into home, it won't wear off with them. They won't be, when's David going back to college? It's home for eternity. Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me, Jesus says. I'm on the way to get your room ready, place ready. I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. Again, the idea of home. So, question for you. Not to get too much into your personal stuff, personal business. When you think of home, and it makes you go, ah, not ooh, ah, when you think of that place of home, what is that? Where is that? Who is that with? For some of us, I can remember traveling down to my grandmother's house, my Grammy, in Maryland. And even though it wasn't my home, it felt like home when I got there. It was like, ah, I'm home. Where's your home? What do you gravitate to? What would you say, man, if I could just put all these pieces together in my life today, and tomorrow I woke up, Christmas morning, and it was perfect, it was home, what would it be? Who would be there? Who wouldn't be there? Well, that person wouldn't be there. Not going to be in my home, but who? What would it look like? Have you come to terms with the idea that you were made for home, and the only place that will really feel home for eternity is to be with God for eternity? To go from this chapter of life into the next chapter of life. We are all eternal beings. There's no end. It's either with God or without God. Home. Home. Are you in a place where you know you will go home to be with Christ, and you can get glimpses of that even now? You can get FaceTime messages with God. Oh, that's the way home looks like. Turn around. Let me see my room. We've got some friends who are building a new house, and this was their second or third. They kind of do that, and we have our guest room that we stay at their house, and, you know, I made sure that I made it clear what I wanted in my room in their new house. I wanted, you know, central air conditioning that I could control to make it as cold as I wanted to, all this kind of stuff, and, you know, joked about it, you know, this is kind of the bathroom I want and all this kind of stuff. And so then we get there to visit them the first time, and on the bureau, there is a framed-in picture, not just some scribbly thing, I mean a framed-in with glass picture that says Cindy's room. Wait a minute. This is my room. And later on when I came back another visit, Cindy's room and Dave in small print. No. God is promising you home, a place to belong. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait to get that right now. You see, Jesus left home so we could really, 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 really be home someday. And that invitation is to us all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for his presence. It's not the good things of life, which are good, but it's actually his presence in our life, him joining our life, him being a part of our life, him guiding our life. That is the real gift of Christmas. And we ask that as we look into the future, as we look into future days ahead, that we would see his presence in us and look forward to that day where it will be complete and full, and we really will be in a place that we can call home. We ask all of this in Jesus' wonderful name.